Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we are here today after the long winter, the long night, to finally talk about the trailer that HBO just dropped. We've been super excited, itching to talk about it, and this is the perfect excuse. You've seen the trailer, I assume, if you're here to do a podcast about it.
I am. Okay. I've seen it many, many times. And
I did like freeze frame a few times. Yeah.
Because my first time, like, you and I both are kind of aligned in our feelings about trailer reaction videos and podcasts. Uh-huh. And I mean, I feel like this is the equivalent of us as podcasters stripping for cash. Like, this is what people want that pays the bills. But, like, are we really going to have
it?
Any?
See, I look at, like, straight up reaction vids, not like talking about the trailers and what this means for the future, but just like mouth agape staring at a screen. Right. That doesn't interest me.
But after I got done whining and bitching for a while, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually going to do this upright. And I spent like an hour and 15 minutes frame by frame going over to the trailer and noticing things and trying to do research on what those things might be, and now you've got a podcast that's going to be breaking down the trailer.
Are you not entertained?
We're going to first talk about kind of like the plan for season 8 on Bald Move, then we're going to talk about our general thoughts about the trailer, and then we might have a little bit of spoilery stuff. These are not like production type spoilers, they're more of just things I know from the lore and from things I know from the books that might give you inside information or help make you connections that you might not otherwise have made. But I don't think they're going to be, oh my God, the Night King sits the Iron Throne kind of thing. So, but still, we're going to put them last because I know some people want to go in completely spoiler free. And now I'm trying to do that too. I am aware that there are some leaks and there's a lot of things like came out production photo wise and what people know of the plot. They've already pieced together a lot of things, but as in years past, I am trying very hard to stay clear of that. So, and if you want, I gotta say, if you want like an exhaustive breakdown of a trailer, just go to Alt Shift X on YouTube. If he doesn't have one out now, it'll be out by the end of the day, and it'll be glorious and amazing. It'll get like half the stuff that we might have missed. So check him out. Alt Shift X is awesome. Okay, I want to talk about the schedule because we have, Game of Thrones season 8 is one of the most exciting things that's ever happened here on Bald Move, and this is probably the most exciting finale since Breaking Bad.
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, Leftovers, I was definitely, I've been waiting for this thing for like almost 2 years.
Only two, huh?
And it's 7 years, yeah. it's 8 years of lead up and the five books. It's like, there's a lot.
And I keep hearing things about, every single episode is a movie unto itself. Like,
right.
They spend hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah.
Right. This has got 100 million people watching it globally. Leftovers had 100,000 people watching it globally. So yeah, this is like since season, the wrap up of Breaking Bad, I think this is the most important. This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to us. And we are having coverage to match. If you haven't been with us since the last time we talked about Game of Thrones, a lot has changed in this extended off season. I wrote a book. Actually, I wrote two books with a religious scholar called Gods of Thrones. Volume 1 came out last fall. Volume 2 is going to be coming out this spring, I hope, April 1st. That's what we're trying to hit.
That's the dream.
There'll be a link to that, to Volume 1 in the show notes if you want to check that out. And starting on March 26th, Anthony is Dr. LaDon is the co-author of the book, are going to be doing a promo podcast for Volume 2 of Gods of Thrones. And if you missed our podcast for Volume 1, we basically do a deep dive into the subject matter of the book, which is a comparative analysis of the religion, the fake religions from Game of Thrones with the very real life and factual religions of our own world. And we take a particular topic or character religion to analyze. Like last year, we did deep dives into characters of Catelyn Stark and Tyrion Lannister and how their religious faith or lack thereof influences their character. And then a week later, on April 2nd, we're releasing a second promo podcast for Gods of Thrones. Then the week after that, shit gets real. April 9th begins our officially unofficial coverage of season 8, where we do a preview podcast. And we're going to be discussing kind of our hopes, dreams, and fears for season 8. what the stakes are for the show and its legacy, because like we said, there are some stakes here, what it means in the context of George Martin's larger work, and whatever else you find folks want to talk about. And again, the way to send us feedback is in the show notes, but it's GameOfThrones@BaldMove.com, and also we have forums, forums.BaldMove.com, that will be jumping the season.
Is it too early to start sending in feedback now?
No.
Okay.
No. We actually have a pretty full feedback from the from Q&As from Last Gods of Thrones, but no, it's never too early, too late, or well, it'll be definitely too late after the wrap up podcast for season 8 to talk about Game of Thrones, because yes, the whole show is going away. But it won't be too early to send in your prequel feedback. Just to head that answer off, yes, when the prequel series debuts on HBO, we will be there day one.
100%, yeah.
With our Valyrian swords strapped on, and we'll be talking about it. So we are going to, in the season proper, we're going to be bringing the Game of Thrones, a feature that we did with our Better Call Saul podcast last year. So if you'll recall in previous years, we've had like the Instant Take podcast where we immediately publish like an off the cuff review and discussion as soon as the episode's done airing. This year we're doing that, but we're also doing a second part called the Instant Talk, where people can join and get an audience discussion going with us using the YouTube chat feature. Now, the catch is that you have to be a club member to participate in the audience participation part of the podcast. And you can join that club.baldmove.com. So that's exciting. We're going to be doing those the night of the show's releasing. And our first Instant Talk podcast, therefore, will be immediately after premiere of Season 8, Episode 1 on April 4th.
April 14th.
April 14th. Damn it. I did, in fact, fuck it up. April 14th. We have full coverage of that same episode on Tuesday, April 16th. Then we'll be continuing to do the Spoiler Edition, which will come out later that week, where we talk about the books. And we've actually... We give George Martin shit, but he actually did release a pretty girthy new book, Fire and Blood, which is just Volume 1 of Targaryens, and there was some new information on that, so maybe that will
inform. He's just trying to kickstart the new series, and then, yeah.
We will also be doing something extra fun to celebrate Game of Thrones' final season by hosting one of our Super Serious Film Fest in its honor. Now, a lot of people probably don't know what that is, but the Super Serious Film Fest are just Jim and I doing a podcast and video series around a themed collection of movies. And this year's theme is fantasy. And we're going to be taking a stroll through fantasy classics such as Conan the Barbarian, Dragonheart, Beastmaster, Excalibur. We're going to have podcast reviews and discussions for everybody publicly available. We're going to have live watches for the films exclusively for club members. All that's going to be going down on the Bald Movie feed. If you search for Bald Movies on your favorite podcast app or iTunes or Google Play or wherever you listen, you'll find it. Easy peasy. Now, some people always ask, well, how can we help you? How can we help Bald Move? And during the season, it's real easy. Rate and review us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. Tell your friends, family, and coworkers they're into Game of Thrones. Like, if they're into Game of Thrones, probably be into our podcasts. Unless they're like one of those uptight prudes that doesn't like to swear. And don't send them to us.
Then they're not watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah, who is the uptight prude that doesn't swear and watches Game of Thrones through cracked fingers? Teehee, I don't know if I should be watching this.
I'll tell you who they are. They're liars.
Yeah.
They're liars are who they are.
Hypocrites, frauds, counterfeits.
They'll tell you they're not watching Game of Thrones.
So, yeah.
And then you'll see a fucking House Snow pin on their shirt.
Send them our way. We'll sort them out. And also share our posts. You know, every time we post an episode, it goes out on all the social media platforms. Share that shit, you know, if you're inclined. Or join the club, club.baldmove.com. That's another way, great way to help us.
All right, I got to talk about this trailer, man.
Yes.
Are we done with this shit?
We have burnt holes in our trailers are burning holes in our trailer pockets, something like that.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Jim.
The number one takeaway from this trailer is the Battle of Winterfell, right?
Looks like it.
I mean, it almost seems like the Battle of Winterfell is going to be the entirety of Season 8, based on these trailers, or based on the trailer, which is cool with me. I've been hearing you know, a whole bunch of shit about how this is like the biggest battle or the longest battle scene ever committed to film.
It's something, period. Yeah, something like in cinematic, and they're not saying in like television, they're like saying cinematic history. This is the largest, longest.
But which has me sort of worried because I've seen Transformers 2 and that has a shitload of very long, very bad and boring action scenes.
Yes.
That is a battle in the city with the Transformers and I fucking hated it. So this can go one of two ways. Uh-huh. It could be great. It could be, you know, if they pull it off and they execute the way they need to, this could be riveting.
Right.
Or it could be extremely boring.
Well, and also, like, the way, because the way they phrased it in the articles, like, it's the largest slash longest, or, and like, in televised, like, I don't know what all weasel words they use, but it reminds me of a lot whenever a new roller coaster is released, it's always the world's tallest, fastest, inverted, suspended, titty-holding roller coaster.
Right.
Like, how many other titty-holding roller coasters to support the titties do we have?
Four.
There's two others, and this is 5 foot taller. Like, okay, I mean, it's Miguel Sapochnik, and it's a big battle, so it's going to be awesome. Whether it's, like, historically defining awesome remains to be seen, but yeah, that looks
exciting.
I'm
hopeful, because every time they've done a battle, I've been enthralled, like, right. The Battle of the Bastards was fucking amazing.
And it definitely, I think, will contribute to what we think of in, like, cinematic battles.
Uh-huh.
Like, that great shot of, like, John standing alone against a whole cavalry charge. I mean, that's up there with anything.
Almost trampled to death by his own guys. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's up with anything you'll see in, like, Ben-Hur or Gladiator or Braveheart, any of those things. I think they might be doing a switcheroo on us. I think that they are intentionally letting us think that all of the battle footage is the Battle of Winterfell. I have a theory that anytime you see, like, the red fog of war, like, it's like battlefield, it's foggy, but it's also covered in fire. Kind of the last scene of Full Metal Jacket where they're singing M-I-C-K-E-Y.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be, like, the siege of King's Landing or, like, bringing Cersei to justice.
Okay.
Because, like, there's a lot of scenes of, like, cold and snowy and, like, pitch black and, like, the wind's blowing. And then there's a lot of, like, fog of war on fire. And I'm like, that can't be the same set. But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because also there's a scene of, like, John in that kind of fiery fog. There's a scene of, like, John storming a gate and I'm like, why would he be storming Winterfell? Why would, like, unless it's one of those things where he's frantically grown up, like, let me back in. Right. I don't want to be out here anymore. Like, I don't see that happening.
Podrick just died. Let me in.
Right. Yeah. Pod the Rod can't make it.
Oh. Speaking of which, that's maybe my favorite shot of the whole trailer is just with her panning across the battle lines.
Yeah.
And you see Brienne and Podrick. Podrick is looking as somber as possible and as much like a badass as possible.
Yeah. It's I'm ready for him to have like a signature fight scene.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool because it's been building. We know he's got prowess at a certain type of sword fighting. And Brienne's been trying to get that to translate into actual...
Yeah.
Martial, like not marital prowess, but martial prowess, and we'll see. I think he'll have a scene to shine this year.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
I mean, everyone is there. I mean, it looks like Jaime's coming to Winterfell to help, quote unquote, fight for the living.
Yep.
We see like Jorah and Dany and Jon and like all of the forces have congregated at Winterfell.
Sir Davos.
Davos, yeah.
Tyrion gets a sneak attack at the very end.
Looks like he's finally going to get obliterated by Dragonfire, if you're to believe the cuts in the trailer, which I don't.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to see everybody teaming up on the White Walkers to go to town.
Yeah. So shall we... Because like I said, I got this here deep dive.
And they trained the shit out of Maisie Williams. They got her in the gym and they got her with a fucking bow staff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she has some serious moves now.
She's going full Donatello from Teenage Mutant.
Man,
Ninja
I can't wait. Because we've never really seen Arya do much of anything. It's always been like talk.
Yeah,
right?
Or she'll like, you know, dress up like a little girl and stab a dude. Or like, I'm not
saying
it's
always sneaky shit. I want to see some badass
Arya.
Yeah,
steal a face and feed Walder Frey some Freys to him.
Which I get it. That's kind of her thing.
That's a different kind of
badass.
But
she's going to have to really, you know, break out all the stops.
We want to see her turn into her potential, like see her full potential as a water dancer.
Yeah.
We want blood. We is what we want. We've got this constant battle between seeing, you know, wanting Arya to just have a normal, nice life.
Nah, then, too late for that.
You're right. You're right. She's a psychopath already, so just...
She is. I mean, there's the line in the trailer where she's like, death has many faces, and I'm looking forward to seeing this one. Presumably talking about the White Walkers.
You scary little goth girl.
Good lord.
It's frightening.
I love it.
I love it. We have... I got a deep dive prepared, but right. I also, like, I know I've spent probably too much of this podcast talking about Bald Move shit, but I want to keep some house because we're actually, aside from preparing for Game of Thrones, doing some shit right now. In the Bald Movies feed, as we previously discussed, you can search for Bald Movies anywhere you can find podcasts. We are reviewing The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, the new film by Chiwetel Ejiofor, as well as Captain Marvel, the latest in the nonstop, never-ending Marvel series that's going to kick off just like a month later, the other big cataclysmic wrap-up to Avengers series. Cecily and I are in the middle of a fresh playthrough of New Super Mario Brothers U on twitch.tv/baldmove, which we are having a really good time. People are seeming to enjoy it. And you can also see the complete archive thus far at youtube.com/baldmove. And finally, on Bald Move TV, we're talking about Hulu's Into the Dark series, the Treehouse episode, and also discussing the Michael Jackson documentary that debuted this week on HBO, Leaving Neverland. Okay. Deep dive into the trailer.
Also, Beric and Tormund made it.
Yes. Which I'll be discussing in this here deep dive.
All right.
So we begin with Arya running through this dark corridor, presumably in Winterfell, looking anxiously over her shoulder. My question to you is, what could make the Arya that we know, the badass, scary little goth girl, that scared? Is this like a dream sequence? Is this a brand vision? Is she undergoing some kind of psychic assault?
Good question.
Would like even like three ice zombies chasing her make her that like pants-wettingly afraid? What? Is she going to die?
It's possible. I suppose it's possible. Maybe it's Jaqen.
Yeah,
maybe Jaqen during the midst of this battle
come
has
back
caught,
for with the waif girl, and they're like, you know what? Just because I smiled didn't mean it was okay,
right,
for you to bail on your training.
Yeah,
and all the faceless men, they don't have faces. It's just there's this bloody red skulls. That would do it.
I have no idea, honestly. I can't think of anything that would make Arya run at this point.
Yeah, I mean, in this...
A dragon coming through the halls of Winterfell?
Right, right. Like, did someone open the Chamber of Secrets and let out the hippogriff or whatever from Harry Potter? Like, what the hell? What the hell?
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those big fucking ice spiders. That...
Oh, shit.
That
the ice spider
tear-assing through Winterfell after her would probably have me, you know, pulling my legs up off of the floor I don't know, someone that's on a stool hiding from a mouse. I can't think. All the cultural references my brain are pulling are wildly inappropriate from old cartoons that no one should have been allowed to see. But anyway, yeah, she's scared of something. She's also talking, like you said, badass about I know death. He wears many faces. I look forward to seeing this one as she holds up in a city of knife. Obviously talking about the White Walkers.
Yep.
Davos is walking on the battlements of what's probably Winterfell as the troops all around them stand ready for battle. Varys is in a shelter with women and children.
Yeah. This has got to be the crypts of Winterfell, right?
Yeah, I think so. And like, I wonder if this going to be kind of a reprise of Sansa's role from season two, where that was her first leadership role, where she kind of chilled all the non-combatants down and like showed some genuine courage in the face of this. Yeah, I don't know, but it'll be interesting.
Come on, Varys. If Tyrion's out there, you can get out there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I also wonder. I don't know. Like, I think it'd be cool if Varys had like some kind of hidden talent for killing.
He kills with his tongue.
Yeah, yeah, and his intelligence.
Yeah.
There's also Bran intoning to everything you fought or brought. Everything you did brought you where you are now, where you belong, home. And he's saying this over a montage of like the Greyjoy fleet and Dolor Ased and Tormund and Beric coming back and Sam's there at some point. I think he's probably talking to Jon though. Right?
Oh, really? I was going to say he's probably pep talking Sam because Sam probably feels pretty damn useless right now.
I think he is pretty damn. I think the way the plot is working out is he's probably going to be pretty useless.
I would assume. Yeah. So maybe he's like trying to help Sam deal with his uselessness in the face of the battle of the White Walkers.
Yeah, but we'll see. But yeah, I think it's, I took it as like him, this is going to be the scene where, because there's got to be a scene where someone sits John down and be like, say, hey, yo, that's your aunt you're banging.
Yeah.
Mr. Targaryen.
And it's going to have to be Bran, pretty much.
Because Bran's already creepy. He's like, you can't hide anything from me, John. I watch you guys every night. It's better than Cinemax, honestly, this Weirwood shit. So I think that's what's happening. So we see the Greyjoy fleet, and there's like another kind of switcheroo where you see like just three ships coming towards you, which I think might actually be like Yara or Theon's fleet.
Okay.
But then they like flip around and they're show on inside of a ship. Still Greyjoy vessels, but there's like hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And there's like this full company of people standing in golden armor. This is almost certainly the Golden Company, the sellsword company that Cersei sent Euron Greyjoy over to Essos to fetch. So she'll have something for Jon and Dany to contend with when they get back.
And there's a false lead here. This guy who's standing sort of on the upper deck here looks like it could be Jaime from the back, but it's definitely not.
Looks very Jaime Lannister. It's definitely not just because of the company he's keeping.
And his hand. He's got an actual hand for a right
true
hand.
True
that.
So. It could be in the books, the leader of the Golden Company is this Sir Harry Strickland, but it doesn't match his book description. This guy's like an old, portly, fat man or a balding man. And this guy is like, again, could be mistaken for Jaime Lannister. So I wonder if the fact in the books, the Golden Company is was founded by a bunch of Blackfyre rebels, and the Blackfyres were a branch of illegitimate Targaryens that were legitimized by a very bad king and caused the instant civil war, and the ones that lost went to Essos and they did various things. One of them, Bittersteel, the guy, the bastard's name Bittersteel, founded this golden company. And there's a lot of theories that they're going to be involved with, in the books anyway, bringing this kind of like fake Targaryen, this manufactured Targaryen back to kind of be a foil for Dany. Like this guy's like that kind of handsome and like what you would kind of expect from that kind of character. But I'm like, it's way too short in the game to be doing something like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to introduce that. I think what's happened here is a Daario situation where they've just said, fuck the description in the book.
Yeah.
We don't care. We're going with somebody completely different.
It could be they have this like kind of golden prince as a not, like, because they do that sometimes, like a wink to the book readers. Like, like this is, you know, in another universe where we had five more seasons and George finished the fucking books, this would be the guy we get to play Fagon Targaryen. I don't know, but it could be. I could see, like, you know, someone talking to Euron about we've hated the Targaryens and that branch of Targaryens for generations, and we want our chance to get even and blah. I could see them bringing a little bit of that lore into there.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead, unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Like you said, we do have confirmation that Tormund and Beric survived the epic wall collapse last season, because they're seen here going through a dark corridor with Beric's sword lighting. There's a quick shot of Sam in there to throw confusion about who Bran's talking to. And then they show Cersei looking smug as hell after an establishing shot of King's Landing. The mountain looks like a giant Doc Johnson novelty dildo back there. I fucking hate the design of
the
Cersei's
helmet?
Queen Guard so much.
Okay.
So much.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. And there's Qyburn to the side, fanning the flames of her smugness, no doubt. As Bran says home, you know, because we see this shot of the town folk outside Winterfell kind of observing this giant marching column of Unsullied going to Winterfell. And there's a kid in the extreme foreground that really reminds me a lot of like young Rickon from season one. And I wonder if, because like we started our relationship with Game of Thrones by seeing this big retinue of the Baratheons coming into King's Landing, or not, I'm sorry, Winterfell, and Bran seeing that from the tower. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a lot of these kind of notes that are trying to remind you of where we began and now where we're going, which I thought was kind of nice.
Yeah.
There's a shot of Jon and Dany riding amidst the Unsullied looking fucking badass, which is probably who, again, Bran is talking to in this scene. A dragon buzzes Sansa in one of Winterfell's towers, and she flashes kind of like this small smile of, oh boy, this is going to be a really helpful weapon, or maybe it's just wonder, I don't know.
Yeah, everybody kind of gets a shot sort of like that with Arya getting one, and like right. Everybody's seeing the dragons for the first time.
Right. There's also, this next person talking says they're coming, our enemy doesn't tire, doesn't stop, doesn't feel. That could be... It could be Davos or John or like a lot of these guys with that brogue. Yeah. And they're talking husky tough guy talk. Right. I fucking don't know.
Yeah, it's impossible to tell whether it's Christian Bale when you do the Batman voice.
That's right. Right. So that's happening. Dany joins John in the crypts of Winterfell. I surmise he's looking at the statue of his father that's down there, that's been in some of the pre-release, like the preview trailers and whatnot. But there are some theories that in the crypts of Winterfell, specifically in the tomb of Lyanna Stark, there could be some kind of Weirguild that indicates Jon's heritage, like Prince Rhaegar's famous silver harp or a Targaryen ancestral blade.
What was the word you used?
Weirguild?
Weirguild? What the hell does that mean?
It's something you give somebody like when during a death is like usually it's like something you take from an enemy when you die. Like a payment because of the death. So it's like the idea that the Starks would entomb this thing. But I don't think that's going to happen because they haven't established any of this shit. Like they'd have to hastily have a scene like, do you know your father's a beautiful playing of his classic silver harp and go back to him playing his harp to Lyanna.
But
this is the harp
that
we just found now. You know?
You have the flashback factory of Bran.
You do have
so,
that.
So you could really just do like an intense flashback every episode and get everything you need to sell whatever story you want to tell.
You do have that. You do have that. Gendry looks like he is busy forging weapons and armor for the Battle of Winterfell. He is doing it all while running on a treadmill because he's got to keep that cardio up. Grey Worm and Missandei share a really passionate kiss on the eve of battle, which I thought was nice. Of like the stakes, what we're, you know, what the living are actually fighting for here. There's a badass shot of Brienne savagely cleaving her way across a battlefield, just taking massive swings with a sword. And this is the one that's like shrouded by kind of smoke and fire. And I wonder if it's not going to be like a Battle of King's Landing that, because it just has a different look from all the establishing shots of Winterfell. And I don't understand why. Well, I guess if you're fighting the white dude, want to set as many of them on fire as you want. Or as you could, so maybe that would explain why that battle looks wreathed in flame. But
and I mean, the dragons, anywhere the dragons go,
true,
there will be fire.
There's going to be fire. So. Perfect. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Then Jaime is screaming on the same battlefield, so that promises a nice, perhaps Jaime and Brienne reunion.
Finally,
what's Tormund going to think?
Who cares?
Cersei looking really smug again in the throne room at King's Landing. But I think the line where it's like the enemy doesn't tire or feel, I think, kind of lands on her smug face. We hear Jaime promising to fight for the living and intending to keep that promise, as it looks like he's making some kind of impassioned plea inside an interior room of Winterfell.
Probably.
Do you think this is him pledging his allegiance to Daenerys, or is this him explaining his actions to Brienne? Because it's a small room. It's not like throne room the Lord's room or the hall. It's like a very small, like an intimate setting.
Yeah, okay. Maybe so. I'm actually not sure who he's talking to here, but it seems to be at the Winterfell.
See, this is the 30th location. Time I watched it. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. This isn't a Great Hall of Winterfell. This is like a Brienne type of chambers. There's two dragons making a snowy canyon run. That's probably Jon and Dany being badass dragon riders together. There's a lot of hints that Jon's going to swing his leg over a dragon. Arya smiles up in wonder, probably at the coming dragons, although she's would also probably react that way to a giant battalion of Unsullied coming her way too. Or maybe it's her seeing Jon. Like she sees Jon riding up at the head of this thing. Like that would also kind of explain that smile. There's a really badass shot of Jon standing before the Godswood of Winterfell at the height of winter.
Yeah.
That is like a beautiful, beautiful painting.
Mm-hmm.
We almost, for the books, had Chase Stone. So if you don't know, we got this Chase Stone, a renowned fantasy illustrator, to illustrate our Gods of Thrones books. And one of the things we almost had him do is illustrate like Ned, the classic Ned sharpening his sword in front of that. And I'm like, you know, that's been done a lot. And also this shot would have blown all that shit out of the water. So, it's a fucking amazing shot. There is a shot of the Hound looking pensive on this fiery red battlefield. Is that going to be his like moment of awesome where he finally overcomes his fear of fire?
It should be. Yeah.
This is where I also think why it might be King's Landing, because there's got to be, I'm not going to say it because we don't have the sound effects prepped.
Don't we?
But there's got to... Okay, we got... I've been given a go for the There's got to be the brothers meeting and fighting, and they're not going to do it at Winterfell because Cersei's sitting that one out.
Yeah.
And, like, if it would it'd be thematically appropriate for it, the Hound to have to fight through his fear of fire that was given to him by his brother holding his face to a brazier in their youth to defeat him once and for all. So, yeah, that's my thought on that. There is Jon leading a bunch of men storming a gate, which is another reason why I think this footage is more King's Landing than Winterfell. There's Jon and Dany approaching their dragons, who are kind of over this burnt hoard of animal bones that they've been feasting on. Sansa looking pensive. Arya water dancing with the goddamn staff or spear, looking like a whirling dervish. Dany trying real hard to look sad, something she struggles with. We'll see if she sells it in the full season. Tyrion looking serious. Dragon breathing fire right into the camera. And then, like you said, there's that shot of the Unsullied and Brienne and Pod the Rod and Ser Jorah and them all kind of steeling themselves on the line of battle as a single decaying hoof steps onto the field. The Night King cometh.
Yeah, man.
Winter has finally killed him. It's a good trailer.
It's a really good trailer. I feel like they nailed the balance between revealing possibly too much and not enough.
Yeah, because my
initial... Just to whet your appetite.
We watched it together, and I think our initial reaction is kind of like, that's it? But it's tricky...
Yeah,
doing a 2-minute trailer when you're this deep in a story,
and when you're on the internet, like people are gonna pick that shit apart, and they're gonna have your whole season figured out if you reveal too much.
Yeah, so I thought it was a really masterful trailer to really get. I don't think, and that's the funny thing, they don't have to get people excited for this, but they're doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about how we feel about the season, but I've always had in the back of my mind, kind of like nervous that they're going to be able to. Do something that's going to kind of like, you know, satisfy everybody and make everybody happy and do right by George. And at the very least, they're going to go for broke on spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be something else. We're going to have really comprehensive coverage, and we hope you guys join us for all of it. Again, it's starting in just a few weeks. It is now the appropriate time to subscribe to the feed. There's tons of stuff that if you, again, I think we did a complete rewatch of season 3 since the last time.
And 2?
2 and 3,
I think. 2 and 3.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of time in the off season.
I think we finished filling out the entire back catalog.
Yeah.
So we have all of Game of Thrones if you're doing your rewatch.
There's 3 seasons or 3 podcast episodes on the Gods of Thrones book that I wrote with Anthony LaDon. There's 3 podcasts we did with Anthony and our buddy Kim Renfro from The Insider on the Fire and Blood series that George Martin just released over the fall as well. Tons of content if you're excited. But we'll be back in just a couple of weeks talking to more Gods of Thrones. And then a couple of weeks after that, we'll be talking season 8. Subscribe, rate, review, all those things. Send feedback in to GameOfThrones@BaldMove.com. You can talk to our fellow fans on our forums, forums.baldmove.com. You can support us by going to the club, club.baldmove.com. Get excited. Winter's here. We'll see you very soon.